It has been a hard weekend. In all of my vast experience in life, I've learned a few things as you deal with tragedy. You deal with the unexpected. One is you're never ready. When the phone call comes, when you get that text, when you receive news, you're never ready. Second, you will never forget how you felt in that moment. It will always be there and linger. Third, whatever you are feeling is okay. Some of you may be in tears, and that is okay. Maybe you feel numb and don't even know what you should feel, and that is okay too. There is no right or wrong emotion. It simply is what it is. And fourth, there are some things that are just simply left unresolved. There is not a good answer to why. And typically when we try to speculate and try to give an answer when there's not one, a lot of times it ends up being words that are almost hurtful, even though we don't mean for them to be in any way. And we think, oh, well, if we quote a scripture or if we say something, then that will make things better. And the truth is, it won't. There's nothing you or I could say that makes things better. But our presence is the most important thing. Being able to be present with people. What do we do, though, in those moments when it seems like, almost like God's silent? When we have prayed and prayed and prayed and asked God and begged God and pleaded with God, and things don't turn out the way that we hoped they would. What we were asking Him to do. The disciples lived in that same tension. That last night in the upper room, that is where the disciples were. As Jesus is preparing them and telling them, I'm going to leave you here, but I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to send my helper, this advocate, this comforter, this counselor to be with you. That doesn't mean it's going to be easy. Doesn't mean there's not going to be pain and heartache and trouble. Life is going to be hard, but I will be with you. Jesus trying to comfort and at the same time prepare his disciples says, in a little while you will see me no more. And then after a little while, you will see me. And I was thinking about that phrase, a little while. That can mean a whole lot of different things. In a little while, you're going to get to eat lunch. That's good. In a little while, we're going to go to the store. In a little while, can mean a whole lot of things. And Jesus simply shares those words with his disciples. In a little while, you're going to see me no longer. And he comes back to say, in a little while, you're going to see me no longer, but then you will see me again. And of course, he's talking about the cross, the resurrection, the hope. And then he says, very truly, I tell you, verse 20, You will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into this world. I was thinking back to the birth of our kids, especially Gracie, because we didn't really know what to expect going through labor, and so we took a Lamaze class. And you go to Lamaze class, and you watch videos, and they tell you as a husband exactly what to expect, how everything is going to go, and what you need to do to be the most helpful husband you can be in that moment. And so the day came for Gracie's birth, and they induced labor on Cammy. And it was an hour or two into this process, and the contraction started. And you could tell she was starting to experience some real pain from the contractions. And so I naturally did what the video told me to do. I grabbed her hand, and I started to stroke her hand and her arm and say, "You're doing such a good job. Come on, I'm so proud of you." Until she had this look on her face, slaps my hand and says, "Don't touch me, don't touch me." And my only response, "The video told me to." It was a long day. She was in labor for 22 hours. But when Gracie was born, it was this beautiful moment. Oh my goodness, there is this new life. And that pain turns to joy. And Jesus uses this analogy, this example, just, I think, to simply say that right now, what we're experiencing, what the disciples are experiencing in this world is sorrow. But on Sunday, when the tomb is empty, when resurrection comes, then you're going to rejoice. And he says, "So it is with you now is your time of grief. But I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy." There was a day for them in a little while. There was a day coming when they would rejoice, and they would be filled with such joy because of the resurrection. And not just simply for them, but for future generations. For everyone who would follow, who would believe in Jesus, they would have the hope of resurrection. And then he goes on to tell them, "In that day, you will no longer ask me for anything. Very truly, I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask, and you will receive, and your joy will be complete." He tells them they're going to move from this questioning. In essence, "I'm standing right beside you, and so you ask for what you want and what you need because I am right there. But a day is coming when I'm not going to be right there. And when that day comes, you're not going to question me. You're going to petition the Father in my name. You're going to petition the Father, and it will be done." Which brings up a really, really, really difficult question. What happens when prayers in His name aren't answered the way that we wanted them. What happens when we pray and we pray and we ask God to move, God to heal? And we don't get the answer that we had hoped for. Is God still there? Does He still hear us? Sometimes the silence isn't a no. Sometimes the silence is not yet. Sometimes the silence is that He gives grace that carries us through the most difficult days. Sometimes that might be the greatest miracle we receive, is simply the strength to stand when we don't understand. But I think it's important to understand when Jesus says, ask in my name, He's not saying, here is a blank check, just whatever you would like, you ask and I will do. Just ask it. What Jesus is talking about is not, I'll do anything you want. But it's alignment with His heart. He is wanting us, as we walk with Him, as we abide with Him, as we just connect with Him, that it begins to transform and change our heart, to where we start to ask for the very things that God wants in this world. Ask in my name is about aligning our hearts. Because Jesus' life, and here's the thing, Jesus' life reveals the heart of the Father. The heart for wholeness, for compassion, for resurrection. Even Jesus in the garden prays, Father, not my will, but yours be done. And it's easy to look at the situation, to look at the circumstances and say, God didn't answer the way that we wanted. But I think what's so difficult for you and I is to separate what we see right here now in the moment from God's redemptive story. As many of you know, and you prayed for our friend Brody Nelson. 10-year-old boy in Cleburne, Texas, who passed away from cancer about six years ago now. Standing there with his family the night before the funeral, as people came through the auditorium, I began to get just a glimpse of all of the ways that God had been working through Brody. And in my mind, this is not right. This is not how the story was supposed to end. This is not what we wanted. But story after story after story of people whose lives have been touched by a 10-year-old boy. Things that we could never imagine or think or hope for. And the message that I kept hearing over and over, and this wasn't one of those audible things from people talking to me. It was just simply one of those things because it resonated in every single story. His story is not over. This is not the end. And for us, it feels so final in this moment. But it is not the end of the story. Jesus tells us that this sorrow is going to come to an end. And we're going to sit in the pain, and we're going to sit in the discomfort, and we're going to sit in the grief, because this life is hard. And this life doesn't go the way that we want it. And as much as we want nice, pretty answers with bows tied on them, we don't ever get them. What we get is the one thing that He's promised the entire time: His presence in the storm. His promise to be with us. See, what we've been praying for was that God would heal Brody. And as we step back, that was one of the things that we realized. God did heal Brody. It wasn't the way that we wanted. But God healed Brody. God healed Hattie. Not the way we wanted. Not what we prayed for, not what we asked for. Healing comes. And we don't get to understand why. We don't. But what we're promised is that He will be with us in the pain, and He will be with us in the storm. And it was the very thing that Jesus knew. Because He tells His disciples, a time is coming and has now come when you will be scattered, each to your own home. You will leave me all alone. But then He says this: yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. It's His presence. He promises His presence when we don't understand, when we don't know what to do, when we don't get the answers that we want. He promises His presence. He says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In me you may have peace. But in this world you will have trouble. He says, in me you're going to have peace. In this world, you're going to have trouble. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to turn out the way that we want all the time, and that is okay. But He goes on to say this: take heart. And the translation there is take courage. Take courage, because I have overcome the world. That is our hope. See, hope is not a plan. Hope is a person. Hope is a person, and His name is Jesus. And He is the way, the truth, and the life. And He invites us, He invites you and I to abide in Him. What do we do? What do we do when the prayers aren't answered the way that we hoped? What do? We keep praying. We keep trusting. We keep breathing in His presence. You are not forgotten. And the story is not over. The beautiful news in Christ Jesus is that death is not the end of the road. It is the only reason Paul can stand up and say, death, where is your sting? Where is your victory? Because it sure feels today like it stings a whole lot. It feels today like it gets the victory. But because the tomb is empty, because the tomb is empty, we know death does not get the last word. We understand that the resurrection changed everything. And as much as we want to put our hope and our trust in everything that we see around us, our hope is in something so much greater. It is a Christ that conquered death and rose from the grave, and our hope is in Him, and it is Him alone. I just want to encourage us today. As hard as today is, as difficult as today is, in the weeks and the months that follow, trust in Jesus. Trust in Jesus. Abide in Him. Because there is no other way to life but through the Son. Abide in Jesus. And if you're in a place where you are hurting today, I don't know if you caught it, but during family time, and I told them, I don't know if we really have a family time today. I think our whole service is just going to be family time. But Burke mentioned a lot of people who have lost loved ones recently. And if you are in a place where you are hurting, know that your story is not finished. Death does not get the last word. And if you are not in a place where you're hurting right now, where you're going through loss, I would love to encourage you to be peace for somebody else. Because sometimes the grace to sustain us doesn't show up just miraculously. It shows up through a friend who brings food. Or for someone who puts their arm around you and prays for you. It shows up from a kind word of encouragement or a card. It shows up in so many ways. And sometimes the church is the answer to someone else's prayer. As I was thinking about Jesus' words, ask anything in my name and it will be done. I started to think, are there certain prayers that God will always answer? Are there prayers that we can pray that He will always answer? And I came up with several. And I just created this. And you can show it on the screen. There's a QR code to it. I printed off several. They'll be at the back and at the big green wall, and I'll put some up here on the stage. Here's a couple of them. Abide in me, and I in you. Lord, help me to dwell in your presence before I attempt to work for you. Make me attentive. Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. Open my eyes to your presence for the ordinary. So I gave you 10 prayers that I think God always answers. And I want to invite you to grab one of these, to download this, to save it, to take a picture of it, and whatever you want to do. But for the next 10 days, I want to just encourage you to pray these prayers. And as I say, pray these prayers, I don't want you just to get up in the morning and abide in me. Lord, help me to dwell in your prayer. I want you to soak in these prayers. Just pray the prayer throughout the day over and over and over and over and over. Just allow that to be your words to God for the day. Soak in, abide in it. Live in that prayer. And just see what God will do. Because I think these are prayers that He will always answer for us. And I think these are the prayers that transform us. Could you imagine if we were a church that was able to live from a place of peace and not just panic? Because in this world, you're going to have trouble. But Jesus says, take heart. I've overcome the world. Father, today, Father, today we don't have words. We don't know what to ask for. But Father, we do know that we can ask for Your presence. And we don't have to ask for it. It's here with us now. But Father, would You make us aware? Would You allow us to see Your presence in this place, in this moment? And as we move to a table and we gather around a table, Father, may we remember that You are with us in this moment. Your presence is here with Your people. As we prepare to take the bread and the cup as a proclamation that Jesus has conquered death, that He has risen from the grave. And Father, that we have hope beyond anything that we could ever imagine. Father, today, we simply ask for peace. We ask for comfort. We ask for Your abiding presence. We love You. We thank You. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.